And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I mean like from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn and stretching across the way to Fort Benning. And yes, even big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to that time of the week when I bring in some folks that just are just dear to the show. They're like good folks to have around, and they also got opinions. Like everybody in Ruffian Land's got opinions, but these two know how to express them. So we do a segment every week with a couple of these stalwarts, and I'd like to call the roll first. From up yonder in Huntsville, Alabama, the diva of OG Ruffian Land, Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I am here.
There you are, diva. All right, turning more local in nature. The Butterman, who knows how to run the board in the studio, keep the digits going, and also fly airplanes. Butterman, are you there?
I am here, Phil.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Smooth. All right, hit me some whoops. All right, you guys, you know the deal. First round, I ask you questions, we'll see what you got. And then second round, you ask me questions, and hopefully I got something. All right, so here's my first question. So Democrat Congressman Al Green, the caveman from Houston with the ponytail at 78 years old, he made quite a scene on the floor of the House at the beginning of President Trump's speech the other night. I mean, like, you know, caused quite an uproar. He was actually escorted out by the sergeant at arms. Today, he was censured by the body, but a number of Democrats decided, you know, to interrupt the proceedings and join down there in the well of the House and sing, "We Shall Overcome." Have the Democrats figured out why they lost? Are they going to continue to beclown themselves like this? Is this the right thing for them to do for their base? I mean, what are your thoughts on all of this? Lee, you first.
I think that it is an absolute joke. There's so little racism that they literally have to invent things to sing "We Shall Overcome," like him being asked to leave when he wouldn't sit down in this type of setting as their like Edmund Pettus Bridge moment. Shut up is all I have to say. You people are ridiculous. You are making yourselves look like utter fools, and keep doing it. I say keep doing it. Because, you know, you're just going to ensure that more Republicans get elected next time. And I think the guy, Al Green, first of all, is kind of a joke anyway, right? He's, like you said, he with the cane and everything, which he did not appear to be using, I want to point out. Didn't look like he needed that cane for actual use. I don't know if there's like the end screws off and there's some alcohol in there or some coke bumps. I don't know. But he didn't appear to be using the cane. He's just waving it around like a crazy person and was escorted out, which was what should have happened. We can't devolve into, like, is it South Korea? It's one of those where they literally have knockdown drag out, you know, in their session of Congress. I mean, we can't devolve to this. We just can't.
No. I mean, if he acted like that on a...
We need to get a hold of it.
If he acted like that on a New York subway, somebody would have felt compelled to take him down. But
they would have taken the cane away and beat him with it. What they
All right. So Butters, she certainly has her opinion on this. Where are you on it? Do the Dems even know why they lost?
Where to start? So I think no. I mean, to the short answer, I think no. And I've heard some interesting commentary from some of the red-pilled Dems that are now have had their eyes open to some stuff, and their viewpoint is interesting. Of, you know, we look at it and go, this is nuts, but the reality is that their base, this is what they want, and so that's something. You know, again, why did you lose? Well, you know, perhaps you should expand your base to some actual sane people. The bigger concern I've got, the bigger question is, what does this mean for our way of government when we devolve into this, you know, this? I mean, the whole idea is that you're supposed to have two sides that are having intellectual conversation and trying to actually govern. And that is not, it's not good for one side to just completely, you know, winner take all. That's not the way our government was structured and designed to work.
No, it's a great point. And you know, you can think back on history, like Tip O'Neill, Speaker of the House, used to have breakfast once a week with Reagan. That's a Democrat slash Republican. And they didn't always agree, but they actually worked. And that's missing now. And I really feel like that's the Trump derangement syndrome as much as anything that's really carved out this extreme polarization. But then I look at the absolutely clownish behavior that we saw just in the last, like today, you see the viral video of the female congresswomen who were like doing some kind of silly dance and thinking they had a cool thing going on. I mean, it's like they got into the special gummies a little early in the day and things went bad.
It was cringe.
Oh, it was awful.
So cringe.
It was like cringe with a capital C. But So, and by the way, Butters, you just said they're playing to their base. I think they're playing to an extreme section of their base. I think there's a part of Democrats that are still out there going, oh, geez, please make it stop.
Yeah, but that's the question. What is the base? Is the base of the Democratic Party now the fringe, you know, left? Is it a bunch of uneducated, you know, voters that are going to be swayed by some twerking, you know, videos? And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was an interesting viewpoint to go, huh? Like, how do I rationalize what these people are doing? Because certainly it is not the way our government should be run.
Absolutely. All right, let's switch gears. We got about, 5 minutes. So next question with less than a week ago. Which feels like a lot longer than that, but less than a week ago, President Zelensky of Ukraine had himself like a really visible moment of angst in the Oval Office, got into a shouting match with Vice President Vance and President Trump, and it did not go well. He was actually asked to leave the White House, told the deal for the minerals and U.S. aid later, we find out, was you know, basically off. But by Tuesday night, when Trump was giving a speech, Zelensky had already issued a statement saying, hey, you know, hate that it went badly like that. I'm ready to come back and talk and sign that deal. And Trump even very magnanimously didn't call him out in his speech. He said, you know, we're going to be talking. We've even been talking to Putin. So here's my question. Who won here? After the kerfluffle in the Oval, that's a shootout at the Oval Corral, who won? Butters, you first.
Well, I think your analogy in comparison to a mediation, and of course I'm not an attorney, so I've only had to deal with some mediation as a, you know, one party. I think that still holds true to what's going on. You know, who won? You know, first of all, in war, I'd argue nobody really, you know, wins, you know, in the sense of what's going on to some dramatic sense of satisfaction in that. So I think Trump's playing it well. It seems like he's moving the ball forward. Some of it may, you know, look not necessarily what we'd want. It wouldn't give us the full satisfaction of Zelensky, you know, whatever, coming on his knees or whatever. I don't know. I still would say Trump has got more knowledge and experience and understanding than probably most at this point in history to deal with the situation to finish it.
So you're saying Trump won is what you're saying?
If you want to boil it down, I mean, Trump versus Zelensky, you know, I mean, I think Trump made it pretty clear who's really got the cards, as he put it.
Okay.
You know, all right. Which... So, yeah.
All right. Before I run out of time, I got about 2.5 minutes. Lee, what do you think? Who won after all that? By the way, I said the shootout at the Oval Corral, and nobody caught my euphemism there. I thought that was pretty clever.
I caught it. That was nice.
All right. So, what do you think, Lee? Who won?
I don't know why Butters is being so, I don't know, magnanimous or whatever. We won. Trump won. Obviously, we were always going to win. This was never a question. It's not like he was going to, you know, he went to Europe and saw what they had to offer and thought, oh, crap, I've got to go back and apologize. Here's the thing. Zelensky had a moment there, got upset, got angry, called J.D. Vance a bitch in his language under his breath. And then, because he's used to being embraced, you know, like that long-lost grandson where you whip out the empty checkbook, rip out a check and go, here you go, buddy, fill it out yourself. This is what we've been doing. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, that grandparent died and the other grandparent's like, whoa, buddy, we don't do the empty check. You know, you're going to have to, you know, get along with us and what we say. And it was abrupt, and I don't think he liked it. And I think it was a shock for him, I think. I mean, he knew it was coming, but I'm just saying, he tried to litigate this in front of the press.
Yeah.
He tried to, what he did was rude, and it was dumb. And now he's going to come crawling back and apologize and sign the mineral rights, and, you know, and none of this had to happen. If he'd have done this in private, it would have been a totally different scenario.
By the way, well, Lee, you may be the first person in 4 years of radio that we've almost had to push the red button on, just so you know.
I don't think that's one of the red button words, is it? I thought about it before I said it, but then I just, you know, if he can say it, I can say it, by God.
What butters, what quick?
Well, so my viewpoint and my point is looking at what Zelensky, you know, posted about 5 hours ago, where he's saying everyone must ensure that Russia, the sole source of this war, like he's continuing this rhetoric. So I wouldn't necessarily say like he's fully learned his lesson. He's still trying to save face as much as he can. That's my point.
I think he is trying to save face. I think his own political career is on the line, but I think he's also recognizing that they can't get this done. And even the other European nations, which are not all behind the idea of having to put their boots on the ground, they're not. There's only two right now. France. Uh-huh. Yeah, France and even like Poland and Germany and Italy are like saying no. But you've got France and England saying, or Great Britain saying, we'll put boots on the ground, but it's a coalition of just the willing. And they all said
the leaders
but we can't.
Are saying that, not the people.
That's right. But they're saying we can't do it without United States support. So Zelensky had no choice but to come back and make things right. All right. That's it. That's round one. All right. Take it to a break. JP, get your hands off that red button. You're okay.
For now.
We'll see what happens in round two when we flip the script and they ask me questions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. Okay, so going back to round two of Butters and Lee. This is where we flip the script and they ask me any question. I don't know what they are in advance. And Lee, what do you got?
I want to kind of continue on the vein you were talking about earlier with the joint session of Congress speech.
Okay.
So when they introduced that sweet little boy who had cancer and survived.
Yeah. DJ.
It's one of the most touching things I've seen in a long time for, like, this type of event. You know, just amazing. You could tell he was so excited and huggy and got his Secret Service badge. I hope he went and found Al Green in the hallway, by the way, afterwards and used that badge to, you know, maybe he took the cane and whooped him with it. But my question for you is, like, that situation, the Lake and Riley situation,
yeah.
You know, where they wouldn't clap for her. The Democrats sat on their hands during all
yes,
of these
they did.
Very emotional, very American moments. These aren't Democrat moments or Republican moments. They were American moments. My question for you is, do they hate Trump more than they love the American stories and the American people that were represented there? Is this why they couldn't? Because, I mean, I just remember the past and, you know, Republicans would clap for Democrat people if they're American citizens, you know, doing things.
So to answer your question, by the way, you're the second person I've heard say that it's a great way of describing things. Democrats right now in D.C. hate Trump more than they love America. And nothing about what happened with little DJ, the guy, the brain cancer survivor, or the family of Lake and Riley, or the girl who has traumatic brain injury as an athlete who had a transgender dude slap her in the face with a ball, and was mm-hmm. there, and the Border Patrol agent who's been on duty for over 20 years, who, you know, was in a gunfight with cartels not long ago. All these folks are being honored in the the kid. How about the kid who got appointed to West Point while he was sitting in the gallery?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And his dad
was
a
so awesome.
His dad was a police officer who died in the line of duty. I mean, all these things. You're right. They're American stories, but they're also their heart moments. They're bipartisan. And I'll tell you what. You look at. I did a comparison yesterday in my monologue. I compared last year's State of the Union address with Biden and this year's sort of State of the Union address with Trump. And they're polar opposites. Last year, we got scolded for an hour. And the main concern we had was whether or not he would fall down while he was giving the speech. And this year, we had a speech that was all about promise and hope and accomplishment. But he's also spent an amazing amount of time affirming people. I mean, he literally spent a lot of time just affirming people, loving on people, naming that entire 34,000-acre game preserve after little Jocelyn, who was murdered and raped by, she was 12 years old, murdered and raped by illegal aliens, and her mom was in tears in the gallery listening to that. And I'm thinking he is spending all his time affirming and using the power of his office to make somebody else's life better. And that's huge. And Democrats were just absolutely losing an opportunity to regain some clout by sitting on their hands. They could have stood, clapped, sat back down, and then, you know, not cared a thing about his policies. But how do you not clap for a cancer survivor? Yes. Yes. Wow.
It's just crazy to hear, you know, one of their talking heads on, I think it was CNN or someplace, that got into, well, how could we support the guy whose goons in that very room, you know, they go straight to January 6th, and you're like, oh, my God. You guys are absolutely out of your minds.
Yeah. Wow.
You mean the reporter that said she hoped he didn't commit suicide as a policeman when he got older?
Yeah.
She deserves to be fired immediately. Fired.
There was so much negative rhetoric that came out of all of that. It's again, Dems don't know why they lost. We do. All right, Butters, real quick, what question you got for me?
Okay, so near and dear to our particularly Huntsville crowd, it's personal issues with Doge and people that are impacted by Doge. I had an acquaintance that lost a job, you know, experienced, seasoned, great American, doing great things, but just happened to fall into probationary on a new government job, got laid off, impacted. What do you say to 'cause I know that's going to happen, you know, in our areas. What do you say to those folks?
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody claps and is in, you know, enjoying this. With about a minute left, I'll just say that first of all, it's a hard thing. But it's exactly what the private sector has been dealing with, and the government sector never recognizes that the private sector, this is a part of life, and contracts end, reductions in force happen. Businesses go through upswings and downswings, and sometimes cuts have to be made. I mean, I was just recently having a conversation with someone about whether if we can't find more revenue producers, then the only other option is to cut expenses. And that's the play that the government never has to make. And for the first time, they're having to make it. And so while I hate it for the person, because it's tough, man, it's just hard. And I've got plenty of friends and family members who are all in government service in some capacity or another. And I look at it and think, this is going to be a season of somewhat difficulty, but I think it's going to benefit our economy such that I feel that anybody who was already qualified for a position that lost it because of reduction in force is going to find another gig, especially in Huntsville, by the way. So, wow, the music's playing. All right, there you go. Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned because we will be right back.